Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday, and there are rule changes proposed throughout the air here. The NFL dropping their competition committee suggestions and some proposals from teams, and lots to sort through. I just talked about it a little bit with Billy on Carry the G Radio, the podcast. If you haven't checked that out yet, I highly encourage you to do so. The one I really wanted to focus on today, right here and now, is the potential changes to the kickoff, which wouldn't be a permanent switch or change, but it would be for 2024. It would be 1 year, and the NFL would then potentially look at utilizing it long term. But it's a pretty radical shift if the owners were to approve it next week during the league meetings. Obviously, Keyshawn Nixon already a back-to-back All-Pro as a kick returner. He seems pretty excited about it, tweeting out a little bit ago, LOL, go ahead and approve that kick return rule, and I'm going to go back-to-back-to-back, hashtag K9. Now, you can see why, looking at this proposal, why he might be pretty excited about it. What it would consist of, essentially, is the kicker continuing to kick from the 35-yard line, but the other 10 players lining up at the receiving team's 40-yard line, so up on the opponent's side of the field. At least 9 members of the return team would line up in what's called a setup zone between the 35 and the 30-yard line. Up to 2 returners can line up in what's known as the landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line. No one other than the kicker and returners can move until the ball hits the ground or a player inside the landing zone. Touchbacks would be marked at the 35-yard line, and no fair catches would be allowed. Rich Bisaccia, that is your dream. No fair catches. I can see why Keyshawn is excited by this. And look, we know that the NFL has been somewhat on a course where it felt like and it seemed like for a number of years here that the kickoff was being somewhat, you know, erased from the game. And every once in a while, you get a big return. It's very exciting. But more often than not, you have seen lots and lots of fair catches, lots of touchbacks. The NFL is trying to figure out a way to reverse that. And this is a potential fix. And something that the XFL used in 2 separate seasons, kind a bit different. It's I would say, a massaging of what the XFL did. But Keyshawn could really become a weapon if this is adopted. Now, it's no sure thing. It's got to get 24 votes out of 32, you know, owners, 31 plus Mark Murphy representing the Green Bay Packers. But there's a potential that this could be, you know, on offer in 2024, and Keyshawn becomes a really nice kind of almost offensive piece on special teams. As far as his ability, already demonstrated several times throughout his career in Green Bay, knowing his leverage, knowing how to set up blocks, knowing how to obviously make people miss in the open field, take advantage of their angles, their lack of pursuit angle, etc. He's got an innate ability. I'm also wondering, given that we've now seen Keyshawn Nixon's contract, it's very apparent this is pretty clearly the standard. Okay, we'll give you this first year, and then you're going to get a bonus on the 3rd or 5th day of the league year, depending on if you trust Ken Ingles or Rob Demoski. But there is a bonus due early in the next league year for Keyshawn, and his cap number will jump up a bit significantly, right? I wonder if Matt LaFleur utilizes Keyshawn a bit more on offense this year. We've talked a lot, for good reason, for obvious reasons, about his utilization as the nickelback, as a guy that they have probably going to count on in some capacity when it comes to a lot of their substitution packages, dime, nickel, what have you. But I do wonder if there's going to be a potential, a opportunity for Keyshawn to be utilized on offense a little bit more. It's something we'll see as this offseason goes along. I'm sure Matt will be asked about it at some point. We'll start to get offseason workouts going. Probably won't get much of a real answer until we get to training camp and we see how much he's able to practice on any of these aspects. But I do think, if this new rule goes through, man, you got a weapon in Keyshawn Nixon. No question about it. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody. Everybody mixing it up. Quick reminder, don't forget to sign up for our Cheesehead Nation, Cheesehead TV newsletter going out tomorrow morning, each and every Thursday morning throughout the off season. It's a lot of fun. Tons of great Cheesehead TV and Packers content once a week for now throughout the off season. We'll ramp up once the season begins. It'll be coming out twice a week once they kick off. But for now, sign up. The link to sign up is in the description of this video here on YouTube. Hope you guys will sign up and enjoy some Packers goodness in your inbox each and every week from Cheesehead TV. What's going on, everybody? Terminal Frost, starting us off with a super chat. What's up, man? Random Packer, Brandon Bostick. Sorry, Nags, LOL. You don't have to be sorry to me. Sorry to everyone watching and listening that has to recall such a tough moment of life for any Packers fan. If you needed to be sorry, it would be because Corey Behnke would be here and he would rip you apart. But thankfully for you, he is not. Jonathan Williams, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. First time I caught you live. Go Pack, go. RP Chewy, many dare, or Random Packer, Chewy. Many dare not speak his name, but loved him on the field, not in the hot tub. It's an important distinction there, Jonathan. Thank you. And yeah, Chamorro was an outstanding player. People, I think, somewhat maybe forget about how good he was because of everything that happened off the field, etc. But yeah, man, he was a really good player. I love that our Random Packers to start out the day have been Brandon Bostick and Mark Chamorro. Coming out hot, people. Coming in hot. Relax is here to tell you all the Bears still suck. Thank you, Relax. I appreciate you. Nick Seeley, what's going on, man? You think Isaiah Simmons could be a fit at linebacker? Potentially. I doubt it, though. That's about as succinctly as I can put it. I think anything is possible, but I'd be very surprised. Let's put it that way. Logan, what's up, man? Random Packer, Scott Tolzien. Very nice. We got some usual suspects in here. See, this is what happens. People start getting the Random Packer itch, and they start throwing out, like, I'm not going to say obvious ones, but ones that have been thrown out many, many times, like Chuck Cecil. I saw a Desmond Howard. Like, people, you got to work a little harder, man. Come on. These are Packer diehards tuning into this thing. Like, everyone knows Chuck Cecil. Everyone remembers Chuck Cecil. He's not that random. You got to work a little tougher here on that. What else we got? Portmaster saying, don't bring up that name. Zay, K9 about to be dangerous if the rule changes. You are not lying. Very, very true. Hey, we got people checking out the stream on X. Thanks so much. Appreciate you all out there. Hope you're all doing well. What else we got? Random Packer, Sanjay Beach. See, now that's outstanding. That's a good pull right there. Ryan, what's going on, man? Random Packer, cousin Ken Stills, then went to the Milwaukee Mustangs. Ryan's cousin, Ken Stills. Kenny Stills. That's old school right there. And yeah, the Milwaukee Mustangs. That's legit stuff right there. See, that's pretty good. I like it. Anthony Dilwigs. Dilwigs a good one. I like that. That's pretty good. You got to be somewhat hardcore to remember Dilwig. Jeezy Baby, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. Tackling rule could be a bummer. Yeah, the hip drop tackle sure feels like it's going to go the way of the dodo, making it even harder for defenders, making it even harder for officiating crews. But hey, a couple of skill position players got hurt and they have to overreact. It's no different than when Brett Favre got pummeled in the NFC Championship game and they went overboard trying to protect quarterbacks, right? They're always going to be reactionary and they're almost always going to be protective of the offense. They want guys with balls in their hands, scoring points, and anything that hinders that pursuit is going to get buttressed, and there will be overreaction, to which I say ridiculous. I thought Richard Sherman made a good point on Twitter about an hour ago where he said, I wish everyone on the committee had to make a full speed video of how they want defenders to attack and tackle ball carriers. And as they are making that video, they will understand how ridiculous this request is as far as eliminating the hip drop tackle, especially in light of all the other limitations and restrictions the NFL has already put on defenders when it comes to playing the game of football and trying to get guys on the ground and make tackles and do so by without drawing some kind of flag, because you can't hit too high, but you can't hit too low, and you can't do this and you can't do that. It's absolutely, you can't grab, don't grab somebody, God forbid. It's absolutely ridiculous at this point. Darth RV, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, Brett Swain. Brett Swain follows me on Twitter, or he did. I haven't seen him in a while, but yes, Brett Swain is a good one. I like it. Phil Epps, that's a good one, Gary. I like that. Keith, just learn how to tackle. Aha! See, that is a very simplistic answer, and I understand where you're coming from, but everyone does know how to tackle, but you can't always get into perfect position. Guess why? The guy you're trying to tackle is not some dummy. He's not there on a practice field. He's got an objective to go get around you, make you miss, puts you sometimes in bad angles, bad situations. Your job as a defender is to complete the mission of getting him on the ground. Yes, people got hurt. People get hurt. It's football. It ain't tiddlywinks. As Brett said, it ain't the ice capades. It's ridiculous. You just learn how to tackle. They know how to tackle. Oh, are we going to require the ball carriers to run in a straight line at all times? They're not allowed to be elusive? See how ridiculous that sounds? Just learn how to tackle. They know how to tackle. Mike Witt, what's up, man? Random Packer, Blair Keel. That's a good one. That is a good one. Oh, Eric, that's excellent. Random Packer, Tony Mall. That's from Eric Mall. Eric, is that any relation? We had Kenny Stills. Relation. Maybe we have a Tony Mall relation here. I like it. Abdul, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, with Devondre and Jones gone, who would be our leader in the locker room? Also, Random Packer, Breno Giacomini. Outstanding pull. Breno going on and getting a ring with the Seahawks. Who will be the leader in the locker room? I would suspect a lot of guys will continue to turn to and endorse Jordan Love as their leader. He may not ever be a rah-rah vocal, really make a statement publicly kind of guy, but I sure think that, you know, you saw the start of that last season. You've heard guys talk about it. You heard Brian mention it during the combine about how it was fascinating to watch as the season progressed, how much they were playing for Jordan. I think that's going to naturally happen. As for, you know, guys outside of the quarterback position, you know, there's going to be guys who lead by example, and there's going to be guys who try to speak up and become more of a vocal presence, maybe. I don't doubt for a moment somebody like Elgton Jenkins on the offensive side. He's been there a while now and, you know, has entrenched himself as a core member of the team, could become one of those guys. And I also think Kenny Clark has always been a leader in that regard, right? A guy who clearly is a core member of the team, grizzled vet, if you will, has seen it all, done it all, and they know when he talks, it's important. So I don't doubt there will be leadership brewing within the locker room. Joseph, what's up? Nags, with the first wave of free agency wound down, are the remaining free agents less concerned with money and prioritize playoff-worthy teams, advantage Packers? Really is a case-by-case thing, right? I mean, I think some guys obviously think that way. I think others are still holding out for, you know, sometimes they haven't signed because they haven't found a deal they like monetarily, but they maybe put their head down and think, okay, get to off-season workouts and or even training camp and injuries happen, and that might be my opportunity, right? I think there's definitely some of what you're talking about, right? There are certainly guys out there who probably going into the process had a pretty good idea. Yeah, I'm not going to get big money, but I am going to wait second, third wave, and hopefully a playoff team or two gives me a call and I can make a choice in that regard. But I just don't think it's too much of a blanket statement. Ron LaFleur. What's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Any relation? Random Patrick. We got all sorts of relations up in here today. Random Packer. Tony Mandrich. Wonder how many know his story. I would think, Ron, here at Cheesehead TV, our audience, I think most would know his story, but there's an odd chance that there are some youngsters here who maybe aren't familiar, but it's been pretty well covered. Rai, what's going on, man? Better shot at Green Bay Super Bowl win, 2014 or 2020? You know, I think I've gotten this question before, but, you know, I'll say 2014. That team, I think, was a bit more talented and just overall a bit better. Both teams broke my heart, so they got that going for them, which is nice. I like the random, better random Packer, JJ Jansen. Sam, that's a decent one, man. Hey, man, long snappers need money, need love too. She said, Joey, what's going on, man? Random Packer, Vi Sikahema. Now we're talking. That is good. Robert, thanks for the super chat, man. Random Packer, my hometown guy, John Yurko Yurkovich. Man, you know, whenever I think of Yurko, and look, he had some really great years in Green Bay. I loved him as a player. But, man, the kind of image that is imprinted in my brain when you mention Yurko is when he got hurt in a playoff game down in Dallas. I'll never forget when he's coming off the field and he is yelling at the Cowboys sideline because he felt something dirty had gone on during that play that got him injured. And it was just so, I want to say heartbreaking, man, because like Yurko had taken a true hometown discount to stay with the Packers and played his ass off, man, and was a bit undersized, not the most talented guy, but man, he brought it each and every down, and you could always count on him. And to see him go off like that, and as upset as he was, and you know, he was a good-natured guy. He'd never had issues like post-snap, like, or sorry, post-play, like fights or anything like that. So to see him get so emotional and upset about it, you knew something was up, you know? Yeah, that was one of many of those tough trips down to Dallas, man. Those playoff losses sucked. Sean, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Have you ever had the chance to chat or interview Russ Ball? Does he have a scouting mind for a future job as GM, or is he purely a numbers guy? Woo, why does this feel like a plant? Sean, this could be its own show, but yeah, let me just lay it all out, shall I? Russ Ball, have I interviewed him? No. No, the Packers are notoriously constricted around Russ Ball when it comes to the media. I remember when I was on the beat and working with Michael Cohen, Michael did, I think it was a two-piece series, might have been three, but he did a deep dive into Russ Ball about where he had come from, you know, his job in New Orleans to getting hired in Green Bay. And, you know, the Packers wouldn't make him available for that, but Michael spoke to tons of people who had known Russ earlier in life and had worked with him both in New Orleans and in Green Bay. But yeah, no, the media that we aren't given access to Russ in any meaningful way. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. My favorite Russ moment was when I was in Dallas and Alonzo Highsmith came into the elevator with me, and there was a family going from the field level up to, we were going to the press box. I think they were going to the suites, and it was a family with two kids, and the boy had a broken arm or something. He had his arm in a sling, and Alonzo joked, you know, you could play for the Green Bay Packers, because they had a ton of injuries. The narrative going into the game was that the Packers were so banged up, etc. Everybody in the elevator laughed. Very funny moment. I tweeted about it, and about 5 minutes after I put the tweet up, Alonzo messaged me and said, hey man, I'm getting shit for that tweet. You got to take it down. And it had been Russ Ball who gave him shit about it and said, you shouldn't be like doing something like that, I guess, in public. I don't know, making a joke. Like, that's when he said, it's like North Korea around here. And a lot of that was due to Russ Ball. So that next week, literally that next week, I almost physically ran into Russ Ball. I was heading into the lunch area and he was coming out of it at the Minnesota Vikings stadium. And I just said, hi, Russ. And he said, hello, Aaron. And then we just kind of kept walking. And that's the only interaction I've ever had with Russ Ball. Good times. Good times. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Random Packer. Kabir! I don't know how random he is, but that's Kabir Baja Biomila. That's acceptable. I'll take it. Talking about linebackers, random Packer, Nate Palmer. Oh man, that's excellent, Soder. I remember thinking Nate Palmer was going to be a player. I was like, oh, this kid's got something. And then, yeah, that never really materialized. Nathaniel, thanks for the super chat. Is it just me, or do most of these teams that have a crap ton of cap space have it mainly because they're garbage and don't have anybody worth paying? There's some of that, you know. I think there's certainly, you know, moments in a franchise where you've maybe kind of fumbled around for so long trying to keep things together, kind of like the Packers did at the end of Aaron Rodgers' tenure. But yeah, some teams take it way too far. I mean, the Saints certainly did, right? Some of them, you know, this have been bad and don't have stars to retain. So as, yeah, you're saying, there's nothing really to spend it on. You know, that's kind of what was the impetus back when the pre-pandemic CBA was agreed to, the NFLPA, you know, one of their kind of demands was that there was a salary floor, you know, because some of these teams are just sitting there with tons of fucking cap space, you know? So yeah, there's some truth to that. Abdul, what's going on, man? Who's more likely to lose their job, Ryan v. Walker? That's a good question. I would say Ryan, probably. I think there's a decent chance that there's going to be an influx of offensive line talent, both at tackle and along the interior. But I think Walker played well enough. If he continues to kind of pick up where he left off and hits the ground running, so to speak, when training camp starts, you know, whoever that might be as far as a draft pick, et cetera, comes in there, they're going to have to play at a pretty damn high level to unseat him. Whereas with Ryan, I think we saw improvement. We certainly saw some really good play in the run game, but he's still an issue. He's still got an issue with pass protection, and that's the name of the game, especially with Jordan Love at quarterback. You want to keep him upright. So I don't doubt there will be competition probably for both guys, but if I had to bet, I would think Ryan's got the tougher road. Robert, what's up, man? By the way, Yurko was the last to wear 92 before Reggie. That's a hot piece of trivia right there. That's excellent. I love that. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Before a defensive player tackles said player, we'll fill out three-page questionnaire, and if the offensive player agrees, then, and only then, will the defensive player be allowed to complete the tackle. I mean, we're not far away, Ed. You joke, but we ain't far away. Sean, thanks a lot for the super chat. No plant. Glad Russ's iBurner X account follows you. Yeah, I mean, clearly does, right? Somewhere out there. Carl, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, do you think Hafley will change the green dot responsibility from linebacker to Xavier McKinney? I think it's a possibility. I remember he was asked about, you know, the green dot and communication, et cetera, when he was at his presser. I know he kind of left the door open for any combination. I do think it's going to be dependent on the player, the players. There's a chance that McKinney gets it, but I also think we have to wait and see what they do at inside backer or linebacker in general. Whoever's on the field the most is probably going to get it. And that would most likely be McKinney. But we'll see. We've got a ways to go. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.